Hey, I challenge you to start with Genesis all the way through. Mark down every time he says the remnant. There is a remnant in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not everyone is a Christian. You may call yourself a Christian. Not everybody is going to go in the rapture of the church. A remnant.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Years ago, Raul rejected Christ and went his own way. This almost cost him everything he had, but when Raul finally surrendered his heart and life to Jesus, everything changed. For Raul's inspiring testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. We are glad you're with us today for our continuing series in the book of Romans. Today, as Raul provides assurance that Christ's gospel is a gift for all people, he'll encourage us to evaluate our response to God's offer of salvation. You'll see that the Lord never strong-arms anyone into receiving his forgiveness for sin, but instead gives each person the opportunity to choose Jesus as Savior. Throughout today's lesson, we'll discover what it means to be a part of God's remnant. Here's Raul Reese now in Romans chapter 9.
Here we see that most of the Jews were looking at Paul as a traitor. As a traitor. Why? Because he wasn't keeping the law any longer. He changed. Remember, on his way to Damascus, he was with his army, and he was going to take and persecute and kill Christians. And in chapter 9, it tells you that as he was on his way, this light appeared there on the way to Damascus and knocked him down to the ground. And he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And he said, "Is that you, Lord?" Instant conversion. And here Paul now is going to be speaking to the Romans, to these Romans, but also to the Jews. To the Jews that needed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 1, Paul says, "I tell you the truth in Christ." You see, if you're not a Christian, then Christ is not in you. When you come to Jesus Christ, you become, notice Christ comes what? Into your heart. Paul the Apostle in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, six chapters, he uses the word "in Christ" 42 times, speaking of my position. My position is not outside of Christ. It used to be. My position is in Christ Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my God. And Paul here already knew Jesus. And these Jews hated him because he thought he was trying to convert them, and he was not. He was trying to tell them the truth and for them to make a decision to accept him or not to accept him. It's amazing how this works in the kingdom of God. He goes on to say again, "I tell you the truth. In Christ, I am Paul, not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit." The word conscience here is literally saying it can only be trusted when the spiritual control of the conscience, of the conscience. Paul had a heaviness for his people, the Jews. But God had called him, listen, to the Gentiles. Man, he died to preach to the Jews. And God allowed him, but God had given him a mission to the Gentiles. Imagine if that was you. Paul had planned, man, I'm going to be saved. I'm going to go back and preach to my people. And God says, Paul, you were saved, but you're going to be preaching to the Gentiles. And he gave us 14 epistles. Notice what he says there about Paul. He says, who is Paul? Well, Paul was born in the Roman city. In a Roman city, not in Israel. He was a citizen of the city of Tarsus, a citizen. And then he was a Pharisee. There were 72 Pharisees. The Pharisees had to be married. Paul wasn't married. What happened to Paul's wife? Some believe that Paul's wife died or Paul's wife left him as a Pharisee. We don't know. It's all up in the air. But a Pharisee had to be married. And here's Paul, a Pharisee. of all Pharisees getting saved, like Nicodemus. He was a night disciple of Jesus Christ. And you know, and it's so cool because a lot of us are totally different the way we counsel people, the way we witness to people. But we have to tell people about Jesus, who he is, what he is in my life. And that's what Paul is trying to say to these guys. I tell you the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience also bearing me witness of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent to become our witness. Our witness. People need to see our witness. Not drinking, not partying, not watching nasty stuff, but being an example. What? To the people as they see the Holy Spirit working, not being grieved by the Holy Spirit because of sin. We have to be careful. Paul was a fighter in the kingdom of God. Verse 2, that I have great sorrow or heaviness and continual grief in my heart. Here Paul thinks of Israel's furious calling to the Gentiles. And now, because they rejected God the Messiah, Paul's heart is filled with great sorrow, heaviness of heart. And then he goes on to say here in verse 3, he says, this is pretty neat what he says here. He says, for I could wish that I myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. You know what Paul is doing here? He's showing his great love for his brethren. He wanted them to be saved and for God to kill him. God, take my life for them. I'd rather go to hell for them to go to heaven. Can you say that? Man, that's real love. I can't say that. That's real love. Man, this Paul, the apostle, is so amazing. When he says there the word accursed, it means to be cut off from Christ. Lord, you can cut me off relationship with you and you can send me to hell, but I want to see my brothers and sisters be saved in the kingdom of God. He goes on. He says again, verse 4, who are Israelites, notice God's chosen people, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, plural, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises of God. Isn't that cool? The glory. In the Old Testament, the glory, it was the cloud. There was, notice the picture over the tent. The Shekinah glory of God in the wilderness, in the tabernacle. A picture of God's presence over his people. He says in verse 5, of whom, Paul says, are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God, so be it. Abraham, Isaac, etc. These, notice, these, they highly value themselves in the kingdom of God. God chose them. God's chosen you. Speaking to the Jewish people of that time. He goes on here, Israel's rejection in God's purpose, verse 6. But it is not the word of God has taken no effect. Notice that. But they are not all Israel who are Israel. You see, a lot of times we think, well, why God didn't touch these people? This is referring here to the privileges and the promises God has revealed to Israel. In Isaiah 55:11, Jeremiah 32:47. God has his perfect time for every individual to believe in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is declaring here. Paul has his perfect time, Paul says. God gives every one of us a perfect time to receive his grace and mercies. For they are not all Israel who are Israel. God was going to separate. Verse 7, nor are they the children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. So many descendants of Abraham were rejected. Not all. Not all. They were rejected. Only Isaac descended could be what truly called the children of Abraham. The children of Israel in Genesis 17, 19 to 21. Isaac was in the line of the promise of the Messiah. I love that. Verse 8. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. Real Jews. Notice that. So when he speaks of these, Abraham had other children by Hagar, Keturah. They were not chosen to receive the national promise made by God. But secondly, the promise made to Abraham was a spiritual children. Spiritual children, according to Romans 4, 6, 11, 11, and 3 through 4. And then thirdly, the line of promise came through Isaac, not Jacob. Remember, Isaac, not Jacob. For this is the word of promise, Genesis 18, 14. At this time I will come to Sarah, and Sarah shall have a son. The child of promise, the type of the Spirit of God. But when Rebekah also had conceived by one man, Esau, and even by our father, Isaac. Isaac is a type of the Holy Spirit, remember? And then we see here Rebekah, when they have Esau, he's a type of what? The flesh. So you have the Spirit and you have the flesh. And then he says this, verse 11. For the children not yet being born, they're in the womb, nor having done any good or evil, because that's the way it is, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand not of works, but of him who calls. God makes the choice of Jacob instead of Esau, notice, to continue the physical line. God always makes elections. We have a will. We have to make a decision. Should I go with him? Should I not? Should I accept him, reject him? God gives you that liberty. That's why you have a will to make decisions. And when you make that decision, God stands by that decision. Whether you love him or you hate him, he's going to teach us some more here. He goes on, verse 12. It was said to her, Rebecca, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau I have hated. Does God hate people? I don't think so. It means literally, I have loved less. You mean he can love one greater than the other? Well, let me read you something. This is interesting. God hates the things of the flesh. And Esau was a man of the flesh. That's all he loved. Where we have the younger Jacob, notice, that he's the type of the Spirit. He is a man of the Holy Spirit. If you remember Jacob, God had to humble him. He had to actually cripple him so that he could become a man of God. Jacob became Israel. Notice, Jacob what? Was hill catcher, where now Isaiah or Jacob means ruled by God. He came and he ruled him. Is God ruling your life? Are you the one of the Spirit or are you the one of the flesh? Who are you today? Are you Esau or are you Jacob? Who are you? He goes on, verse 14. Here is his rejection and God's justice. Question, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Of course not. Certainly not. He says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whoever I will have mercy, but I will have compassion on whoever I will have compassion. Exodus 39:19 speaks about this, because here God, notice, he allows Moses to make decisions, just like you and me. So then, it is not of him, God's gracious choice, it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. Faith is God's choice. And the gift of God, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then the mercies of God, God's sovereignty in your life, God's sovereignty in my life. For the scripture, here it is, the word of God. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Isn't that interesting? Summing up the character of God, Moses. And it's so incredible to read the Old Testament. There's so much history in the Word of God. He goes on, verse 16. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows his mercy. God's gracious choice. Faith in God's choice. The gift of God, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The mercies of God. Verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in the whole earth, not just with Israel, the whole earth. The sum of the character of God, Exodus 34, 5 to 7, and in Moses, Exodus chapter 3. What is your name? My name is I Am That I Am, Jehovah Elohim. I'll be to you whatever your need may be. I love that. Verse 18, therefore, because of this, he has mercy on whom he has mercy, whom he wills he hardens. Remember Pharaoh? He wanted to be hard, so God says, okay, be hard. You're going to perish. I gave you an opportunity to be saved, but you made the choice to come against me, so go ahead and live it up. Verse 19, you will say to me, then why does he still find fault in me? Because I'm still a sinner? That's right. Because you're still a sinner, that's why. For who has resisted him? Notice Paul says here, if God made me like this, then how can I not find fault in my life if he made me like this? I'm a human being, but as a human being, even as a Christian, I still sin. But I have the Holy Spirit to convict me, to say you should not be doing that. You need to repent and really repent and don't do it again. Verse 20, but indeed, O man, Paul's answer, who are you to reply against God? I mean, who do you think you are? Will the thing form, man, form, say to God who formed him, why have you made me like this? Of course not. Verse 21, does not the potter have the power over the clay? He says, from the same lump, to make a vessel for honor and another for dishonor. He uses the potter and the clay to show us the sensibility of man, how God is greater. He's the potter or the clay. He can do whatever he wants with the clay. I love that. He can do whatever he wants with me. I don't know about you, but with me, he can do whatever he wants. And I want that to happen. He goes on. He's the master potter here. He says, verse 22, what if wanting to show him wrath and to make his power known endured with long suffering, the vessel of wrath prepared for destruction? So you have the chosen vessel for hell, the chosen vessel for heaven, and the chosen vessel, what? For the grace of God. The grace of God, as he says here. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because, again, verse 22, what if a God wanting to show his wrath, to make his power known, endure with such a long suffering, and the vessel of wrath prepare for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory and the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory. Notice that. The hope of your calling in Jesus Christ. What is it? What is your calling? I know my calling. What is the calling of God in your life? Those he has chosen for salvation. All who have to do with an open door, that is your heart, that God can use your life. And we make a decision to accept him or to reject him, to use me, not to use me. That's why I have a will. That's why he's my Lord. That's why he's my Savior. Are you willing to do that? I hope you are. Verse 24, even us whom he called, not of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. Here we are. Not only the Jews. I love the Jews. I love Israel. And I pray for the Jewish nation all the time. And I pray for the world too. And I also pray for you, the body of Christ, that God will do such a tremendous work, especially at this particular time. He goes on in verse 25. And as he says also in Hosea chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 and 2:23, I will call them my people, and who are not my people. And here, beloved, who was not beloved. Remember the Jew and the Gentile. And this shall come to pass, Hosea 1:10, in the place where I was said to them, you are my people, that they shall be called sons of the living God. Gentiles, the visit of God to the Gentiles, Acts 15:14, he says. Isaiah also cries out, Isaiah 10:22-23, concerning Israel. He says, though the number of the children of Israel be the descendant of the sea. I hear this. In the Old Testament, then it says, the remnant will be saved. Hey, I challenge you to start with Genesis all the way through. Mark down every time he says the remnant. There is a remnant in the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not everyone is a Christian. You may call yourself a Christian. Not everybody is going to go in the rapture of the church. A remnant. He goes verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. During the tribulation period, he's talking about, he'll make a short work of saving a lot of Jews. 144,000 will be here. By the time second coming comes, there's going to be a lot of Jews saved. Verse 29. And Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seat, we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah. He says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? Yes, of course. Open your eyes, Jewish people. Paul is saying, open your eyes. Can't you see it? That's the key to Christianity, faith. But Israel pursuing the law, that's the problem. Pursuing the law. He says, have not attained the law of righteousness. You see, you have to come to that place that they're saved already by faith. They have already eternal life. Just like the mother of Pharisees again in Israel. I mean, hundreds of them don't know Jesus Christ. But one day, they're going to be woken up. God's going to wake them up. And they're going to have to make a decision. He goes on. 32, he says, why? He answers, because they did not seek it by faith. By faith, Galatians 2:16, chapter 3, 2, 5, and verse 10. He says, why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. No, you can't do that. For they stumble at the stumbling stone. Who's that? Jesus. They stumbled when they came to the grace of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They couldn't accept it.
Well, if you've never asked God for His forgiveness of your sin and received His free gift of salvation, we encourage you to consider what you've heard today and make that life-changing decision. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is part of our ongoing series in the book of Romans, and if you'd like to get a copy, we'll send you a complete version on CD for a gift of $5 or more. To get that, just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching from Romans chapter 9. Now, we'd also like to equip you with Raul's book titled Servant, The Person God Uses. As you think about the spiritual legacies of several men and women in the Bible, you'll see how the Lord worked mightily in their lives to accomplish His perfect plan. You'll also discover how daily communion and active submission will help you nurture a deeply personal, richly blessed relationship with God. So act now to order Rawls' book titled Servant, The Person God Uses. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and we'll send you this inspiring resource for a gift of $10 plus shipping and handling. That number again is 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by sending a check, is Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also have several free resources we're very pleased to provide. Visit Rawls' YouTube channel every Tuesday at noon West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that will guide you in viewing current world issues from a biblical point of view. And for additional insight from Scripture, we invite you to access iTunes or Spotify and download free podcasts of Rawls' teaching. Well, if you have any ideas about how we can better serve and support you in these complex times, let us know about it when you contact us. We welcome your input as we prayerfully craft every broadcast to equip you with the life-changing truth of God's Word. This ministry is made possible through your continued partnership. Every gift you give is tax-deductible, and your generosity helps keep us on the air. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue with more in our study of Romans. As you ponder how God says He seeks out even those not seeking Him, you'll be challenged to urgently pray for friends and family members who've never turned to Christ. Here's Roll now with the closing comment.
Verse 33 quotes from Psalm 118:22 and Isaiah chapter 8, verse 14:28-16. He says, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hear what he said? Will not be put to shame. He offended their self-righteousness. So the Lord came to the Gentiles. You don't want to receive me. You don't want to accept me. Hey, you guys over here, Gentiles, I'm coming over to you. And I'm going to save you. I'm going to use you. And you're going to evangelize my people. And my people are going to get saved when I speak to them.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.